You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Trying to calm down from this statue ridiculous debate.
Why do you hate LeBron?
It is.
You do hate LeBron. You do. Why I just want you to admit it. Just you do hate LeBron.
I'm like a wind-up
There is
doll.
So much resentment toward LeBron James.
No, it has nothing.
And he brought you two championships.
You want my statue list?
That would be like me hating Albert Pujols.
No, I don't want your Heat statue
not
list.
Not Heat. All I'm here's what I have. I wouldn't do that. Come on, I'm not that stupid. Here's what I have. Quickly here. Well, we're getting the sound on
Can
the
Can you give us some context for the statue?
I'm going to.
Okay.
Active players that I believe could get statues in the city that they are most famous in.
Okay.
Active players. Okay. Mahomes and Kelce in Kansas City.
Sure. Nope. Not Andy Reid?
Players, I said.
Oh, players. Sorry. Okay.
I guess Jason Kelsey's not active, but I would assume Jason Kelce. Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. Hasn't won a championship, but they love him.
They ain't got to a conference finals.
I think they love
you
him.
You want us to put up an Embiid statue, but you won't put up a LeBron statue?
That's
what are you talking
nuts.
About?
That's
I'm just throwing it out there.
Ridiculous.
I'm just throwing it out there. I brought up Lowry. We'll move on from that. Giannis in Milwaukee.
Okay, he won.
Jokic in Denver. Mm-hmm. Dame in Portland. Steph Clay and Draymond, I think. LeBron with the Cavs. Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers.
Good one.
Mike Trout with the Angels. They better just give him the stadium. He stayed there
even
forever.
Even though he hasn't won anything and not even come close.
I mean, it's Mike Trout.
He has not won anything.
All right, if you don't. Okay,
but he will be a Hall of Famer, so I understand.
And then
a
I
Hall
put,
of Famer.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
The lame one.
I do know how you're going to feel about this, both of you, but here we go. I put Altuve with the Astros.
They'll do
Complete
it.
With
and,
the buzzer.
And we'll have problems
with it. That'd be great. They have the buzzer. They have a shirtless Altuve as a statue. I mean, he's been there for a while.
You can have a little buzzer that you can hit so like it tells you what's coming. Like, that's how you do it. You put a buzzer on it, and then it's like, fastball, curveball.
Put it next to a trash can.
Yeah, like next to a trash can.
Did I leave anybody out? I didn't put any hockey. I'm not as well-versed on that in terms of statue culture and hockey. Did I leave anybody out for statue people?
Yes, LeBron in Cleveland and Miami.
I said LeBron in Cleveland.
But in Miami.
And Miami.
Okay, fine. All right, whatever. Again, you guys keep going back there. I'm not trying to go back there, but you guys are going back there. Anybody else across sports that you would say active players that will get the statue?
Ovechkin?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Crosby.
Crosby, agreed. That's out there for people.
Will Joe Burrow get one?
No, it's too soon for that. Joe Burrow already?
No, I'm just wondering if we're like projecting down the road.
Did you say Kawhi in Toronto?
Oh, that's a good one.
Kawhi in Toronto is a good one.
Wow. You think so? A statue? One season. Championship, but one season. Jersey retired, probably. Would Kawhi even want to go? He wouldn't even go, I feel like. Hey, we're going to have a statue night. He doesn't even show up.
I'm trying to think of
Do the Giants have anything for Eli?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Jersey retired, I assume, or
yeah, Ring of Honor, that kind
Ring of
thing.
Honor.
But I don't know that. No, there's no statue.
Yeah.
No.
Will Rodgers get one in Green Bay?
No, not yet. Not anytime soon. That's for sure.
But he's active.
He has one outside of his house, I think, of himself.
I know he has a day. They have an Aaron Rodgers.
You know
day.
What I mean? I'm just wondering. I know it didn't end well, but he still is a Hall of Famer who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, once everybody kind of kisses and makes up, at some point they will, right? Wow. You don't think they will?
I don't know in Green Bay. I don't know. Think about how storied that franchise is.
And Favre's cool with them now, which is amazing considering
cool,
some of the stuff going on there.
I'm just thinking about, like, think about how much history the Packers have. I don't know if they build any statues of Aaron Rodgers anytime soon.
Yeah.
And based on the way that things are trending with Aaron Rodgers away from the field, the stuff that he says that's problematic, you might have to tear it down anyway. Just putting it out there.
Just
putting it out there.
Save the material.
Just the way it is going.
That'd be amazing. Let's build it so we can tear it down. That's the actual move. You want to really send a message to him? Aaron, we built it on a Tuesday. Wednesday is our teardown day with Aaron Rodgers' statue. That's why I'm saying don't do the statue.
The fans are tipping the statue.
Don't do the statue.
Okay, I'm going to throw another random one out there. Oh, what about Matt Stafford? Could you see him getting one in Detroit or in L.A. because he won the first Super Bowl there?
He would deserve it in Detroit. I don't know about it.
Do they have one for Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson?
And when they're returned to L.A., he was the quarterback that did it.
But he would be – Aaron Donald would be the one that they would build a statue for first, yeah. right?
But he has connections.
Would they have the knives that he like he plays
when he
against?
Trains. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's a very tricky thing because – I mean, how about Russell Wilson in Seattle? It's not going to happen.
No, that
but
ain't
I'm saying
happen.
If we're going to do the well,
that ain't going to happen. Russell Wilson might be the reason why they won one and only one.
Yeah, well, I could see like one. A Legion of Boom statue, some sort of nod to the defense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to build that statue, but that's where the statue thing is.
Marshawn Lynch would get it, obviously.
That'd be a good
one. With some Skittles.
Yeah,
that'd be a funny.
Mode?
That'd be a funny statue.
Come on, that'd be awesome.
All right, so there's. I don't want to say momentum, but there's conversation about something that has happened a lot here on our air on ESPN Radio over the last week or two on ESPN Television that is really interesting. So we have all gotten to the place that we just assume Caleb Williams is number one overall, right? We've all three of us said that, Caleb Williams to the Bears. Damian Woody joined us literally a half hour ago and had this to say about Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback because I think Jaden Daniels does the ordinary things better.
Yeah.
That's what I, you know, everyone is so enamored about the off-platform, off-schedule, all those type of things. Give me the quarterback who can recognize, diagnose, be accurate, and most importantly, when pressure comes, deliver the ball against man-to-man defense, against man-to-man coverage. Jaden Daniels does that better than Caleb Williams, in my opinion. And so for me, listen, both of those guys are dynamic. Hell, all these quarterbacks coming to the league are dynamic. They're athletic. But I want to know who can do the ordinary things the best. And I feel like that's Jaden Daniels.
All right, so that's one. How about another? Dan Orlovsky was on First Take, or excuse me, Get Up, and had this to say about where the Bears should go number one.
I have not thought that Caleb Williams was a lock at number one because I thought Drake May would be the guy. I was wrong in that. Jaden Daniels should be the guy. If I were the Chicago Bears right now, I would take Jaden Daniels out of LSU. That is not a knock on Caleb Williams. That is a plus in Jaden Daniels.
All right. Let me give you another one. Joe Theismann, 83 NFL MVP, longtime football analyst, quarterback, was on primetime here on ESPN Radio, thinks that Jaden Daniels should be number one.
Jaden Daniels, he's a very, very, very strong prospect to be the number one player taken. I know everybody's talked about Caleb, but, you know, as I've evaluated and looked at these different guys and been thinking about it a lot, I think Jaden moves to the top of the list.
At what point do we have to take a step back and wonder, are they right about this?
I think this is going to be a debate that's had all the way up until the draft. And the biggest reason why is because the things that you're going to ask Jaden Daniels to do in the NFL are things that you saw him do at a high level last year at LSU in terms of him being able to process information, win consistently from the pocket, being able to show his athleticism on design quarterback runs. You've seen all of those things. So the skill set is there, and those are skills that are transferable to the NFL, whereas the stuff that you see Caleb Williams having success with more often than not comes through improvisation against guys that are going to be selling insurance, you know, in a year or two. So, I mean, that's the difference, right? The things that we've seen Caleb Williams do a lot of the time, he's not going to be able to do them in the NFL just because the athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. So he's going to have to win more consistently from the pocket. That's not to say that Caleb Williams can't. And I guess that's the part where I don't want to go too far toward the Jaden Daniels end of the spectrum. Like, Caleb Williams can do all of the things that we've seen Jaden Daniels do at LSU, but he's just been able to get away with playing a lot more backyard football, right? He can pass up, you know, a good game in hopes of making a great play, a good explosive play. Like, he can pass up making a routine play for an explosive play downfield. Like, that's what we've seen from Caleb Williams, and he's doing that because he knows he can get away with it at the collegiate ranks. What we don't know is if he has the discipline to be able to tailor some of that down, to be able to limit some of that and just consistently make fundamentally sound plays. That's the thing that we want to see from him. We haven't necessarily had to see that from him because he could get away with doing things based off of improvisation.
the Bears are in such a precarious position here. They absolutely have to get this right on so many levels. You're moving off from Justin Fields, who could potentially go somewhere and have success elsewhere. We assume that Caleb Williams is going to be the guy, but if you pass on him and you draft Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I think in the immediacy of it, they would get torched. Even if long-term it turns out to be a better play and one of those two guys, specifically Jaden Daniels, as we're talking about, can translate quicker to the NFL level, I think because of the hype that has surrounded Caleb Williams for years now, leading up until this point, if the Bears were to pass on him, don't you think that there were so many people that would say they don't know what they're doing and they would get absolutely hammered for it?
Yeah, but they don't get the benefit of the doubt. If they pick Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams and they're wrong, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. But the inverse is actually, I guess, is probably not as much scrutiny. If they take Caleb Williams, and everybody is presuming that they will, if Caleb Williams doesn't work out, I don't know that that decision will be criticized as greatly as if Jaden Daniels didn't work out. Now, there'll be plenty of criticism because it is the number one overall pick.
Right.
And you would have screwed that up, not 1 year, but 2 years, because you could have had C.J. Stroud in 2023. So, I mean, this is a situation right now where the Bears really, really are in a tough spot.
Right.
But, again, I don't want people to think that Caleb Williams isn't capable of doing some of the things that we've seen Jaden Daniels do just because he hasn't routinely done them, if that makes sense. Like, now, Jaden Daniels is a phenomenal player. I don't want to take anything away from him. Like, what he did, that quarterback draw at the end of the Mizzou game for the go-ahead touchdown, like, that is special. Like, he can do it as a runner, and we've seen him consistently go through his progressions in Brian Kelly's offense and make the right reads and make some great throws. But Caleb Williams' ability to improvise, his ability to be able to shape throws, to layer throws, that is next level. So when people make the Mahomes comparison, that's what they're talking about. He can do it from any different arm angle. He can do it whether he's balanced or he's off platform. He can throw in rhythm. He can manipulate the pocket really well. Caleb Williams has some things that translate really well to the next level. I mean, God, things that he would do where he would step into the league and be a top five player at the position based on those things. But I'm not, I just don't want people to lose sight of the special from Caleb Williams while also talking about Jaden Daniels deservedly being in the conversation for the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I just think this whole thing is so interesting because you're in the midst of your draft prep, getting ready for the draft coming up in April, which you're going to be co-hosting on ESPN Radio, CC. And I think that when you have Damian and you have Orlovsky and you have some of these people that are not evaluating tape during the college football season and are starting to, like yourself now, and they're all like, well, no, Jaden Daniels is number one. They're not following necessarily, I don't want to say narrative, but the storyline was Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams for the college analysts, right? And now all of a sudden, it's like all these people are saying Jaden Daniels. What's ironic about this is that as you're doing your prep, you came in last week and you're like, let me tell you how good Drake May is in any other year.
Yeah.
Right? And this is where this whole thing gets interesting.
That's the other part to this now. Like, Drake May is good now. Like, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Caleb. You don't hear Drake May's name, but again, Drake May could be the number one overall pick in any given year. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're asking me right now, based on where I'm at with watching these quarterbacks in my draft prep, Drake May would be my number two quarterback. Like, I still have him as my number two quarterback behind Caleb Williams. Like, I think it's really close between Drake May and Caleb Williams.
Wow.
Like, I think Drake May has got something really, really special. But again, I think it's about what fake flavor of ice cream you like with these quarterbacks. But the things that I've seen Caleb Williams do, there's just not a lot of quarterbacks, not a lot of human beings that can do them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels isn't special. I'm not saying that Drake May isn't special. But what makes Caleb Williams different is just his ability to be able to manipulate the pocket, his ability to be able to shape throws, layer throws. He's got every shot in his bag. They say that about golfers. This is like that's what I'm talking about with Caleb. He's got every shot in his bag. There's quite literally nothing at the quarterback position that you would want your quarterback to do. If you were building a quarterback, there's nothing that he can't do.
Wow.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Where does Russell Wilson go next? Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, get up. Tell us, Lou.
Well, considering that I think Russ at this point is a temporary option, just a filler, a bridge quarterback, I think there's two. I think the Steelers, he's someone that they should consider to bring in and provide competition for Kenny Pickett, and then he could be a high-level backup. Or the Giants now obviously have entered the mix, because if it's true that they have now really wanted to or are wanting to turn the page on Daniel Jones and they're going to draft a young quarterback, Russ needs to be that guy who is also a bridge quarterback until the time that a young quarterback is ready to take over there. So I think those are the two best ones for him going forward.
Steelers, Giants. What do we think of those two options for Russell Wilson?
I agree with the Steelers one. I don't understand the logic behind the Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, they already have a bridge quarterback in place in Daniel Jones. Just let your starting quarterback right now, let the incumbent be the bridge quarterback. We know that the Giants structured the contract they gave Daniel Jones last offseason so they could get out after the 2024 year. You don't have to change anything about that. You don't have to add 1 cent to your salary cap by going out and bringing in a Russell Wilson, because you already got the version of a bridge quarterback that you need in Daniel Jones. You got it. It doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, the Giants are on the hook to pay in Daniel Jones. They still owe him a significant portion of guaranteed money. And then beyond that, just the cap hit that you would have to take in order to move off of Daniel Jones is cost prohibitive. So it just doesn't make sense to go after a Russell Wilson, because if you do draft a quarterback, that means you'd have to get rid of Daniel Jones. And like I said, it does more harm than good when it comes to the team's roster construction.
Yeah, that just feels like a big mess in the making and a big quarterback controversy that's brewing. I could definitely see the Steelers, but I don't know if the Giants is a great fit for Russ. I keep thinking about the Vikings. If Kirk Cousins does, in fact, land in Atlanta, they're going to be looking for a quarterback, and that could be a good spot for Russell Wilson to land.
Is there a better option than Russell Wilson in Minnesota? Like, we always talk about now Russell Wilson as like, oh, he's not what he once was, he's a bridge quarterback, but is there an argument that that's actually a good option? That if you're looking at Russell Wilson with that team, with those weapons, and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and
at that cost?
At $1.2 million, like, instead of, oh, I guess he ends up there, like, what about glass half fulling that one?
And just I can see it.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hey, that's a good move by them. They didn't want to guarantee Kirk Cousins long-term money.
Yeah.
They felt like what they were getting in the past is what they're going to get in the future, and maybe that's not enough for them at this point. They want to maybe get on the age trajectory of some of those other young weapons. That you bring Russell Wilson in, he could probably get you to the same exact record-ish that maybe Cousins would get you to, and you could draft a first-round quarterback.
Do you have enough leadership in your locker room to absorb a personality like Russell Wilson?
Good question.
That's the part that I don't know. Like, I like it. For all of the football reasons that you laid out, I like it. But we can't ignore the culture aspect of this with Russell Wilson. I mean, very similar to the conversations we were having around Cam Newton at the end of it. Not that Cam was a problem, but Cam was a big personality, and your team has to have strong leadership in order to be able to absorb that, especially with the player as decorated like Cam was, like Russell Wilson is. So I guess that would be my question for Minnesota. Can Kevin O'Connell deal with that? Do you have enough in the way of player leadership in that locker room to be able to manage that?
Especially if Kirk Cousins isn't there, and we know that that locker room loved him.
Yeah.
When he was out with an injury, they're wearing Kirk O'Chain's T-shirts to support him. You know, they really love him. So having him exit the building and then bringing in Russell Wilson, who's a completely different personality, I wonder how everyone would adapt to that and if it would mesh.
Well, one destination for Russell Wilson, which was really only thrown out there by me, and obviously maybe not a good one, was put to an end yesterday because Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, was asked by Kay Adams up in Adams as to whether or not the Panthers would bring Russell Wilson to Carolina.
This is not the situation for Russ, but what I will say about him is taking that chance and that opportunity to go to Denver. I really admire him for that. I really admire the courage it took to say, I'm going to branch out away from what I'm comfortable with. Certainly guys like me who was with him for all 10 years. The level of comfort that comes from, like, I know exactly what he wants, what he needs, what he's going to ask for. I can anticipate those things. And he really gambled on himself to go and try to do something a different way to see what that could become. So, and what it's become, hey, the film's out there, but I really credit him for that.
Interesting.
Did he really take a risk though? I mean,
he wanted out, right?
Yeah, he wanted out. He was uncomfortable in Seattle.
Wasn't he floating out places he wanted
exactly.
to go?
He had a wish list.
Yeah, a wish
like
list.
Four teams.
That's right.
And he's done it for several seasons. It was like two or three straight off seasons where there was speculation around the Seahawks trading Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson wanted more say.
Yeah.
I don't know that I give him credit for being courageous in that instance, especially when the franchise forks over multiple first-round draft picks and hands you a contract that pays you $250 million.
Did he maybe mean the system? That the system was so different than what they played in Seattle?
It was whatever he wanted it to be.
Well, in year one, not in year two, I guess, is what he's referring to.
Yeah, but he went there. But that's what I'm saying. He went there. Like, we're talking about evaluating the decision to leave Seattle. He was getting exactly everything he wanted when he went to Denver. He wanted to have as much say as other franchise quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay or like Tom Brady did in Tampa Bay. He wanted that same level of cachet. He wanted to be able to swing it around because he views himself as a franchise quarterback. And nobody's saying that he wasn't at that time. But sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. And he got exactly what he wanted in Denver. And it ended up being an abject failure. And he is the biggest face of that failure.
Sure.
And undeniable.
A very expensive face of that failure.
Well, here's the thing. It's more expensive than even he knows because now you're starting to see that the NFL doesn't view him like it once did a couple of years ago.
Oh, no doubt.
The opportunities are not the same. Like Damian Woody said, we're going to find out how much Russell Wilson loves football this offseason because he's not going to walk into a situation where a team is going to hand him the keys again and say, it's your team. It's not going to happen like that anymore. I completely disagree with what RG3 said earlier this week on Get Up about how Russell Wilson has earned the right to still be a franchise quarterback. No. He hadn't earned that right. He's got to go about his business and compete for the chance, just like we saw with Baker Mayfield. That's a slice of humble pie that he didn't think he was getting at this stage in his career.
I think Russell Wilson is beyond good enough to be a starter, like Lou Riddick said, you know, top 16 in the league in terms of numbers. But I understand the personality part is obviously different.
And we said the same thing about Cam Newton, didn't we? And it wasn't a ton of opportunities for Cam Newton.
And he got one.
He got one, but it wasn't a ton of opportunities that were out there.
He did something with it. And to Cam's credit, Cam said, I'm not the kind of person that just can come in here. I understand all of the stuff that comes around me.
Right.
One of those other quarterbacks is Aaron Rodgers. How long is he going to play? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now that is true. We have seen Aaron Rodgers with that chip on his shoulder be outstanding. Some have said that maybe the Green Bay Packers years ago fully knew that and understood that, and that is one of the reasons they were excited to draft Jordan Love in the first round and trade up to get him, because they needed to annoy Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers annoyed is at his best. That is the ultimate strategy. Now, Rodgers, now the Jets quarterback, was on the Look Into It podcast with Eddie Bravo. I got to be honest, I don't know what that is. I'm just going to I just promoted it. I don't know what. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
No idea.
Okay. All right.
Here, I'll find out. Research is on it.
All right. And Rodgers said he is hopeful to play a few more years.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake, just everything down to a T to try and get better? And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab wise from the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play two or three or four more years, but you need to have some good fortune there too.
All right. So let's react to this, and then we got to find out where he's going with some of his media right now. So this is going to sound weird, but I'm going to ask it. Aaron Rodgers wanting to play more years, multiple years, three, four, or five more years. Good news or bad news if you're a Jets fan?
Bad. Do you want more of what you're already getting?
I'm with Smalls on this one. I think it's a bad idea. He's under contract through 2025, so he's got this coming season and the following season where the Jets have it wrapped up. If it's a situation where the Jets even think about actually giving this guy an extension, I think that's bad news for the Jets. But, I mean, you have to basically boil it all down to what happens on the field this year. I think that's going to tell the tale. Now, it's trending toward being a disastrous trade for New York, and undoubtedly this does tarnish Aaron Rodgers' legacy to some degree, his time in the NFL. But I will say this. I think that him coming back and him continuing to keep this franchise hostage is not a good thing in terms of getting to a place where you can have sustained success. Right now, Aaron Rodgers was shot in the dark. Hey, let's go for it. We're making a big swing. We got a championship caliber defense. Let's see if we can catch that proverbial lightning in a bottle. But if it doesn't happen, and we saw it didn't happen in 2023, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers gives you much more beyond just having one shot at being able to make a championship run. You're not going to have a situation where you're continuing to have, you know, a team that's competing for the division title, that's making deep playoff runs. And I think that's where every Jets fan wants this thing to get to. And Aaron Rodgers sticking around longer only keeps you further away from that.
I got to be honest. It's so weird to think about this. We know that Aaron Rodgers is not the biggest fan of Russell Wilson, right? No. They're not hanging out anytime soon. They're not going to do anything to hurt each other. They're just not good friends. It's amazing. By the day, we get more and more examples of why these two situations are so similar.
Yes.
Because a year ago, Bronk, I love Russ. I defend Russ. I'm on an island
you
by myself.
Love Russ.
You love him.
But a year ago, if I would have said, hey, Russell Wilson just came out and said he wants to play four or five more years for the Broncos, what do you think the Broncos fans would feel? You can substitute the answer you just gave, Jets out, Broncos in, and it's the same thing. And we're sitting here saying 1 year from now.
Not great.
Russell Wilson may be the Aaron Rodgers may be the Russell Wilson a year from now. It's not crazy to think.
What's the common thread? Nathaniel Hackett.
Like the player killer?
The through line.
Wow. Six degrees of Nathaniel Hackett.
Wow. Didn't think about that.
Wait, but you're right on that one. It is six degrees of Nathaniel Hackett.
But that's what it is, right? Because if you're signing up for more Aaron Rodgers, that means more Nathaniel Hackett, more of the super friends.
More
of whatever he wants. And when is more of Aaron Rodgers a good thing for a team? It's not.
Listen to what you just said. Aaron Rodgers is known as maybe one of the greatest, along with Dan Marino, throwers of the football in the history of this sport.
No doubt.
And you just said, when is more of Aaron Rodgers a good thing?
He's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer.
First ballot unanimous that if somebody does not vote Aaron Rodgers into the Hall of Fame, their Hall of Fame vote should be stripped from them.
Yeah, he's got four MVPs. He's got a Super Bowl title. I mean, he was a wild card in 2010, and they went on a hell of a run. And they beat a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team. Like, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks that I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. Ever. You know what I mean? And I played against some good ones. So, I mean, like he's there. But, again, more swing, more say in an organization for Aaron Rodgers doesn't end well for the team. And we're seeing that. We saw it at the end with the Green Bay Packers. We saw it last year with the New York Jets.
it feels like a toxic relationship in some ways, right? Even though leading up to him getting injured, it was all sunshine and rainbows. He did everything right. That eroded pretty quickly once he wasn't out on the football field. And now it feels like we're looking at the Jets and we're looking at some level of toxicity, for lack of a better word, because he has all of this power and control and they don't really know how to rein it back. They don't know how to
get out of
it.
They have Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
They're being held hostage and they love it. They love it. Like Aaron Rodgers says, hey, we got to get some of this stuff buttoned up. These leaks about Zach Wilson being reluctant to step back into the starting role. We got to find the source of that. You got Rob Saleh running out to his coaches and saying, hey, give me your phone because I think you might be the guy that's leaking things. We got to get things fixed. When Aaron Rodgers tells anybody at Florham Park to jump, they ask how high. That is not a healthy dynamic when it comes to the player using his influence within the organization. And so I don't know how this leads to anything good for the New York Jets. Like, I have my doubts about this upcoming season, and then beyond that, it's even more ominous. So I don't know that it's a good thing that Aaron Rodgers is putting it out there on wax that he wants to be around for two, three, four more years?
Something like that. You know, he said it on the Eddie Bravo pod.
My goodness.
So here is the...
4 more years? You want 4 more years? The State of the Union for the New York Jets with 4 more years of Aaron Rodgers? Oh, hell no. No.
So the Eddie Bravo podcast, according to the bio on Apple, is that it features uncensored conversations with, quote, red-pilled martial arts stars, comedians, rock stars, and conspiracy theorists.
So which one would he be in that?
All of the above?
He's not a martial arts star. Wait, so it's martial arts.
Red-pilled martial arts stars.
I don't know what that means.
Comedians, I have no idea what that is. Rock stars, and conspiracy theorists.
Martial arts, comedians, rock stars, conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
I think he checks all of those boxes.
I think he only checks the last one, actually.
Really?
He's not a rock star.
Aaron Rodgers is a rock star.
No, he's not actually. He's an athlete.
He's
a football
rock star.
Guy's hosting Jeopardy.
Come on, he's a football rock star.
Yes, because when I think of Jeopardy, I sure think of rock stars.
Ken Jennings, rock star or not?
Ken Jennings is a rock star. I was watching Jeopardy Tournament of Champions last night. Ken Jennings commands a rock star. Love Ken Jennings.
I think of rock stars as people where there's a certain orbit around them.
Yeah, it's a celebrity.
And Aaron Rodgers commands
that. So he's a figurative rock star, but not a literal
rock star.
Look
at his birthday party. There were rock stars there. Like he's a rock star.
But he wasn't one of them.
Oh, come on, man. All right. Okay.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, come on, man. I can't repeat. Because that was America.
He's not a rock star. I don't know. He's a star. He's not a rock star. A rock star implies rock.
Okay, so
he's not a musician.
Yes, that's what a rock star is.
Travis Kelce's an NFL rock star.
No, he's just an NFL star.
No, he's a rock.
Taylor Swift is a rock star.
You're doing the Captain Literal Man thing.
Come
I can't
this
even
is just
seriously.
A terminology we say about somebody. If they accomplish something great, they're a rock star.
No, it's fine. I'm right. You guys are wrong.
Okay, so is he more of a rock star or a conspiracy theorist?
Yes.
Is he more of a rock star or a conspiracy theorist?
Yeah. Yes, but that's a part of the problem, though, because it makes it hard for the organization to tell him no. At this point, they can't tell him no. So it's basically whatever he wants. And how is that a good thing where the franchise is in a position where they've got to do whatever the player says they have to do?
Nuno, you had something?
Can we get back to Pat Canty and Michelle and the argument we're having during the break? So I brought up to the guys in the control room that I'm tired of hooliganism, right, in soccer, everything else. And Pat says, I love it. He's like, that's what happens at NFL stadiums. And then goes on to proceeds to say, if you walk into the link with a Giant jersey, you deserve to get punched in the face.
I did not say that.
Javonte agrees with me.
I did not say you deserve to get punched in the face. I just said it's not a good idea.
Well, no, you said they had it coming, didn't you?
Yeah, he said they had it coming.
Nuno said that. Nuno puts words in my mouth and you won't believe him because he just says whatever he wants. He's a liar.
Ooh, not the L word.
That's strong.
Number one thing I tell my kids, no lying.
And it's not lying.
No lying.
Javonte.
So let's ask the question then. Is it acceptable for visiting fans? Should it be the expectation that visiting fans go to away games in stadiums and not be
punched in the face?
Punched in the face, yes.
I think that's a crazy thing to even suggest.
Of course
suggest.
That's the expectation. Well, hold on. Let's backtrack for a second.
That's the expectation?
No. Hold on. This started about fan rules and regulations.
Yes.
There's a picture circulating on the internet right now of Matt Eberflus of the Bears and Matt LaFleur of the Packers, the two head coaches, going to the Marquette basketball game sitting next to each other.
Sure.
Then Pat says what about your football coach in that scenario, Pat?
I said if Nick Sirianni and Mike McCarthy did that, Nick Sirianni would be fired the next day.
And what would fans do to him?
Slash the tires of his car.
So Pat's expectation around fandom includes some violence.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you go to a visiting, if your team is on the road and you go to that game, you should be able to wear your jersey. But in Costello's America, you're asking for it in terms of the visiting fans.
Look, you can wear the jersey.
Punching you in the face.
Well, you can wear the jersey, but don't expect to not get chirped. And if you chirp back, you might get punched.
He literally said, "You're in the Coliseum watching gladiators. So if it spills into the
stand, is that not what it is? We're not watching.
Then it is what it is. So Pat's also the guy that I realized he will start running his mouth, but he'll make sure he has a couple of buddies that'll actually get physical because he's not
going to run his mouth with Canty next door. It's like you're not going to mess with him. 6'8", 350 defensive lineman that was a stud player in the NFL for 11 years.
So because we were watching a very physical sport, we should then as fans translate that to the stands. That makes no sense.
No,
to me.
I didn't say that it should happen. I said it does happen.
It's just a thing that happens.
But the way that you're saying it though, it's like it's acceptable behavior.
I'm not the one doing it. Like this is just a thing that happens. I think it's bizarre that we're acting like this doesn't happen every week in stadiums across the country.
Condoning it though. It's like, oh, it's something that happens. We just should accept it. If you wear the visiting team's jersey, you're gonna get punched in the face. It could happen. You're asking for it.
Well, normally that opposing fan is taunting back.
Because you showed up at this place wearing this thing, you're asking for it.
Yeah, don't love that.
Don't love that slippery slope logic. Michelle. I'm just going to put that out there.
You're in the Cardinal Stadium. A Cubs fan comes in and he's talking a bunch of smack. The Cardinals fan's not going to punch him?
Absolutely not.
Cardinals fans are a bad example. They're like the nicest people.
Do you know what happens with Cardinals and Cubs fans? This is why I say the rivalry is not the same. We buy each other beers. We know it's the series that we circle every year on the calendar and it's a pilgrimage for a lot of people. When Cubs fans come to St. Louis, we're like, hey, where are you going to lunch? You should get some barbecue here. Let us buy you a beer. Hope you enjoy our city.
Is that a Midwest nice thing?
Probably. Yeah. We're not punching people in the face.
Steelers and Ravens fans, Canty?
Let me tell you what they're not going to do.
Right, but I'm going to just say.
I mean, what are we talking about?
This is a thing that happens. The origin of this whole thing. It's fine for NFL coaches to be friends with each other. I don't think you can publicly display it like that with the rivalries. I'm telling you, these Bears and Packers fans are going to hate this.
We got to put it out there. We got to put up a poll. We got to put it on the call line. I don't know. I don't know what the proper decorum is, how fans should or shouldn't react to that.
I'm going to acknowledge, it is ridiculous what I'm saying. Like, we shouldn't care. They're actual people. They're allowed to be friends. But Packers fans and Bears fans will be annoyed today.
If their coaches are hanging out.
Yes. Publicly. Wow. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tune in to NBA action tonight. The Mavs host the Heat. George Sedano, play-by-play. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So let me ask you a question. If John Harbaugh, when you played for the Ravens, went to a basketball game and sat there with Mike Tomlin, you care?
No.
You think the Ravens and Steelers fans would care?
Probably.
It's absurd. Probably. I'm acknowledging the absurdity behind the LaFleur Eberflus picture at a college basketball game last night. But as you've seen with Pat, we are nuts as fans. Our rules and regulations, we actually hold people to higher standards than the team holds the people to. Right? I mean, you experience it more than any of us with the Cardinals fans. They're amazingly intense about their team, and they probably hold people to a standard that is ridiculous.
I always say the St. Louis Cardinals are so important to people in that city that the Cardinals have a seat at the dinner table. They quite literally view the organization as family and hold them to that standard. It's nuts.
It is wild, though, when you think about it. Like, people that are in leadership positions in those intense sports rivalries and the fans not being able to accept that those people might have a personal relationship. Like, think about it. John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Like, they are two of 32 head coaches in the NFL.
And they've been there forever.
And they've been – it's probably one of the longest-standing coach rivalries that we've seen in terms of coaches in the same division.
Yes.
And you would think, yeah, we could have a personal relationship.
Nope.
We could sit down and go to dinner.
Not publicly.
How many other people understand what we go through?
None of them.
Nobody does.
I'm telling you.
So to sit down and have those types of conversations, it only seems like it would make sense. But fans, probably. I know fans can't accept that.
Austin Rivers is going to join us in a second. We'll have to bring him in on this. You guys can weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Would you be cool with your head coach of your team hanging out with the rival head coach, as we saw last night? Austin walks into some of the weirdest conversations on this show. I love Austin Rivers that he walks into this. If you saw Coach K and Roy Williams going to a game together, like an NFL game together, would it bother you as a Dukie?
No.
Okay, so players aren't bothered by that. But no, fans, would Duke fans be bothered by that?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right, just making sure on this.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk some NBA stuff. I love the NBA. You know that now from being on our show for a few times. I don't understand it at all. Last night was the ultimate, like, wait, so the Warriors lose by 52, then win by 35.
Yeah.
The Cavs beat the Celtics, but then lose to the Hawks.
Yep.
How do you analyze this every night when it's the most unpredictable sport we have right now?
This year, it feels like that's what it's been. You know what I mean? It's kind of good, though. You know, we're in like a day and age where we don't have a consistent dominant team. I feel like prior years, do you remember like that time where we just knew it was a foregone conclusion that the Warriors were going to go to the finals?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Cavs.
You mean the 2010s?
Yeah.
The entire decade?
Yeah. The whole day is just like Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors. So, like, you know, it's kind of nice that right now we don't know, you know, who's going to be that team. I mean, I guess Denver and Boston are the favorites, but you still just don't know with them. You know, the Warriors are picking up stride. We'll see. You know, who knows?
Yeah, just like I don't know which version of the Lakers are going to show up next
night.
Man, another
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, D'Angelo Russell, everybody wanted to give him love after they had the win earlier this week.
Yeah.
And he's, minus 10 and plus minus in 35 and a half minutes played. I mean, besides LeBron James, nobody showed up.
Yeah.
Nobody. That is one of the most difficult teams to figure out.
Yep.
And last year around this time, we saw the Lakers flip the switch. They formed an identity on the defensive side of the ball. This year, they can't stop anybody. What's going on with this Lakers team, Austin?
They don't really have perimeter defense. They have good shooting and guys that can, you know, score the ball. Spencer Dinwiddie's a guy that can score. D'Lo's a guy that can score. You know, Reeves is a guy that can score. But these guys aren't defensive perimeter guys. So when it comes to keeping the ball in front, we got Austin Reeves. We're giving him a tall task. We're asking him to go out there and guard, slow down De'Aaron Fox. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to work. So, and I love Reeves. I'm a fan of Reeves, but he's not a defensive guy. He's an offensive player. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, it's pretty hard to tell where this team can go, especially with, you know, LeBron has ankle issues now. And they are asking so much of him in year 21.
Yes.
You know, just kind of, I don't know. It's worrisome if you're a Lakers fan. You know, you're asking him to make another historic run, kind of like they did last year.
Okay,
like,
so
I don't
in sports,
can do that.
So Austin, in sports, we do that whole floor ceiling thing. Give me the floor and give me the ceiling for this Lakers team, based on what you've seen.
Floor, I think, is they lose in the play-in.
So you think that's a real? You think that's a possibility?
Absolutely, because it's. I mean, it's they go in there and lose the first game, and you're out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Anybody can lose one game. I mean, that's yeah. why people love March Madness, right? With college basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the March Madness tournament, anybody can beat anybody. Trust me, I know we lost to Lehigh. Yeah, they sucked. Yeah, they sucked and they beat us. So, I mean, anything can happen.
215, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm just...
It's all good, man. Appreciate that. And then ceiling, you know, they make another run to the conference finals. I mean, I think they could do that again. I don't think they beat Denver or anything like that. I don't think they beat the Clippers either in a 7-game series, but... You know,
you think they could get back to the conference finals?
I don't think they can. You asked me what the ceiling was, bro. But it's hard to. Every time we count out LeBron James, he does something remarkable again. So yes. It's just like I've learned to not count him out. So.
Well, that's how I feel about the Warriors. Every time I'm ready to count them out, they have a win like they did last night versus the Bucks.
The damn Undertaker of the NBA, the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, for real.
For real. Yeah. So how should I view the Warriors? Should I buy into them or should I stick with my initial thought process that this just isn't the season for them?
Well, if this isn't the season for them, I don't know what is. You know, those guys are getting older. So, you know, these next couple of years are vital in terms of, you know, this team's dynasty run. You know, if we're going to call it, they're still in that. It's funny when you talk about them just because they've already chose a direction. They're doubling down with this core, right? They got rid of Jordan Poole. You know what I mean? They got rid of, you know, their youngest talent. They would have doubled down with that. They would have guys like Kuminga, Poole, mm-hmm. you know, who's the big guy that they drafted? Wiseman. Like, these are the guys that they kind of would have ran with. You know, obviously, they didn't go that route. They brought in Chris Paul. They brought in those type of guys. So, you know, we'll see what happens with them. It's interesting. I don't know. It's, again, that's another team. It's like LeBron, Steph. We might have LeBron, Steph, KD in the play-in. I mean, if that's not a sign how much the NBA's changed in the direction of the youth now emerging, I don't know what is.
You know, and talk with Austin Rivers, the final thing here. You said something yesterday with us, and you just mentioned it again, and I literally have been thinking about this since yesterday about Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You basically rightfully classified him as the third best player of his era because you said something about LeBron and Steph and how we look at these guys, but oh yeah, by the way, KD is still good. It is weird to me to think that this player who's this great at what he does could almost be forgotten in this era.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, what hurts him, I guess, people don't like the fact that he went and won in Golden State. I think if he would have won a couple in OKC,
oh, it's different.
People would have a whole different outlook on him. Unfortunately, that's what he has against him. But even when he went to the Warriors, you could argue he was the best player in the team. You know what I mean?
Finals MVP.
Yeah, he extended their run. If he doesn't go there, that dynasty is, I think, is going to be cut short. I don't think they win a couple of those extra ones that they won. So it's tough, man. You talk about this era, you think LeBron James, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Kevin's kind of the guy that's behind them, but those are the two that were always in the finals against each other. So it's just, it is what it is.
You're 1,000% right, but like Kevin Durant is so damn good.
Oh, man. I mean,
he's been so good for so long.
Unbelievable.
And it's just like, all right, clear cut third.
I got in trouble because I talked about him being a top 10 player.
And he may be. Sorry, we're out of time. Right. Austin Rivers, you'll see him on Get Up and First Take. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.